Look at Proverbs chapter 4. I want to start at verse 20 and read through the end of the chapter. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a forward mouth, and a perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. I'm going to read verse 23 again. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Let's pray. We do pray for the Ortega family, Lord. We ask that you would touch their hearts and comfort them. And Lord, if in any way any of that family can be saved through a ministry of someone at this time, we pray you'd bring them in contact. Then, dear Lord, we just pray that you would bless every heart that's here today. You know all of us. You know Christians that are in need of help. You know lost people that are on the road to hell and maybe just have 6 months to live. Lord, you know each of us this morning, and I ask you to take the message, the words, and touch every heart and life here. Have your way. Give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give, and bring a blessing into someone's life. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. There are three things mentioned right here that I want to point out. First one is back in verse 20. Attend to my words. Keep my words. Here's a father talking to a son. Solomon, a very wise father, very smart man. Bible says smartest man on the earth, of course, up until the Lord Jesus Christ. Very, very wise man, a smart man. He's trying to teach his son something. He said, keep my words. Now, young people don't like keeping the words of old people, do they? We don't like that very much. Daddy doesn't know what's going on. I mean, he's out of touch with reality. And mama, why, she's old fogey. Why, she doesn't want us to have any fun, you know. But Solomon's telling his son anyway, keep my words. And then look at verse 23, he said, keep your heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence. And then verse 26 says, ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. I'd like to talk to you a little bit this morning about some of the thoughts that are right here, and especially about the heart. You know, we ought to be careful about the path our feet take. You notice what it says in verse 26? Ponder the path of thy feet. Now, I got a tattoo on my arm I wish I didn't have. I saw a tattoo you probably wish you didn't have. There are probably some other tattoos in this room right here that some people got when they were a little stupid. Right. Not too bright, you know? I heard a lady is getting their makeup tattooed on. Now, boy, that is faith. I want you to know you're going to trust your makeup to the beautician, and she's going to tattoo on your eyeliner and your whatever. I don't know about that. I'd be a little scared. I guess I'm not as trusting as I ought to be. But I'm a little bit afraid of what's going to happen tomorrow. Are you? You don't have any worries about tomorrow? You never think about tomorrow? You just live in today? Well, you'd be a very unusual person, wouldn't you? You know the reason why we make a lot of mistakes that we make? We don't think about what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't think about the consequences of what I do today. But let me tell you something. Everything you do today has a consequence tomorrow. Amen. You turn down Jesus Christ today, and I want you to know you are not sitting straddling the fence today, well, I don't know whether to accept Christ or not to accept Christ. If you haven't accepted Christ, you're lost. Right. You're not halfway saved or in between saved or lost. You're lost. The only way you get saved is by accepting Christ as your Savior. You know the reason why I got saved? I pondered the path of my feet and decided where I was headed. Some of us, it would be wise if we would think about what is tomorrow going to bring. And then I've told my story many times, but there was a 21-year-old friend of mine that died driving my truck on my run. And I said, well, 21-year-olds can die. 20-year-olds can die too. I can die. I may not live to be 70 years old. I may not live to see my children and my grandchildren grown. I may not have all that future. Solomon said, you know what? You'd be wise if you sort of pondered, you thought about, you meditated on the path of your feet. Where are your feet taking you? They're taking you somewhere. Drugs. 8-year-old on drugs. It's terrible. It's terrible for a 40-year-old to be on drugs. I visited a fellow in the prison out here, close to 1604-90. Visited him 2 or 3 times. I've known him since he's 17 or 18. He's 40-something years old now. He's still in prison. Second or third time. He says, you know, it sure is hard to get off of crack cocaine. Well, let me tell you a very simple thing. Don't get on it.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
You think you can get on it and get away with it because somebody else was on it and they got away with it. Well, that just may be true, but it just might not be true for you. Now, when I was young, I grew up smoking and everybody smoked around me. If you smoke right now, I don't think you're too bright unless you've been smoking an awful long time and can't quit. You young people, and I see young people every day taking up smoking. I guess it looks tough, it looks cool, it looks something. You got to be Joe Cool, Joe Camel, or somebody. Do you realize there are people right now that are 40 and 50 and 60 years old that just wish they could quit? You think about how much a pack of cigarettes cost, a carton of cigarettes cost? You're going to smoke a couple of packs of them a day? I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to smoke one or two just to be cool. Well, it won't be long. You know, cigarettes are addictive. Now, I've got a problem, but it's not cigarettes, it's food. I'm addicted to food. If I could just quit it cold turkey, that'd be all right, but I'd have to eat to live. See, I wouldn't preach but about 40 more days, you know. And then I'd be through. Well, my problem is I'm not a very moderate fella. I mean, you know, I'm an extremist on everything I do. You know, it's all or nothing. So I eat everything on the table. Either I eat a little or I eat it all, so I eat it all. I'm addicted to food. You can get addicted to cigarettes. You can get addicted to alcohol. You can get addicted to a whole lot of things. You can get addicted to pornography. How about pondering the path of your feet? Some of you, old and young alike, ought to take a look at what you're doing and where it's going to lead you, because every day you're walking closer to something. He said, keep my words. He said, ponder the path of thy feet. And then I think one of the greatest verses in the Bible, really, verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence. Man, put some effort into this, for out of it are the issues of life. So much of life is attitude. One person in one situation is happy, another person in exactly the same situation is miserable. Just depends on the outlook of life. Some people that just only make, you know, $20,000 or $30,000 a year, they're just happy, just rich as can be. And other people that got millions, they want more and more and more and more. It's not necessarily your circumstances, whether you have money or don't have money, whether you have health or don't have health. It's your attitude about it. And a Christian ought to have a good attitude. I'm sorry, a lot of us don't, but we ought to have a good attitude. Whatever it is, why? Man, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. My sins are gone. They've been forgiven by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've got a home in heaven somewhere, not because I'm any good, not because I preach the gospel, because Jesus paid my debt.
Amen.
And if you're in here today, the only way you'll get to heaven is if Jesus pays your debt. No other way. You're not good enough. You never have been good enough. You never will be good enough. And if you could be good enough for the rest of your life, you couldn't erase what you did up to now. But Jesus can. And if you take that salvation that is a gift, a free gift, a wonderful gift by God, He'll save your soul and change your life. Anybody that's a born-again believer ought to have a good attitude. You know, I don't know if you have this tendency. I have a tendency when I go to the grocery store to get in the line where somebody's check doesn't work. Or where the lady is buying for 3 of her friends and she's paying with 4 different checks. Or the computer breaks down. Or there's a lady that's got something there and it doesn't have a label on it. And they have to call a boy and say, come here. Go back and find out how much this costs, whatever. That's my tendency. Now, if I change lines, the tendency changes with me. It's a waste of time for me to change lines. I mean, I see the line stuck. Oh, well, I'll get there just as fast staying right here. But see, that took me years to come to an attitude like that. Have you ever thought about what attitude does for you? You can get up happy or you can just be sad as can be. Now, some of you, you read the paper every day, and you get all upset in the paper. Mind you, fighting mad. You're out there at work talking about it. You're boy. Some of you get up and read your Bible and say, "I'm headed for heaven." Praise God. Attitude. Attitude is so much about our life, so much of what's in our life, so much of how much we enjoy our life. If you have the right kind of attitude, you can make it anywhere. I mean, Paul and Silas, with the right kind of attitude, could sing praises at midnight in a jail cell. And some of you can't sing praises in a $50,000 home with air conditioning and heating and enough food in the cabinets to last you a month and a car to drive and everything. Well, but you're walking around glum and sad and whatever. Why? Attitude. You know what it is? It's this little verse right here. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Your heart, down inside you, what you think, what you feel. I'm not talking about the blood pump. He's not talking about the blood pump. He's talking about your inner emotions. He's talking about the way you think about things, the way you value things. Keep thy heart with all diligence. What do you let in your heart? Well, lust. Lust for sex. Lust for pride. Somebody to look up to you. Lust for things. So many times we're not content no matter what we get. You want something so badly, it just drives you till you get it. And when you get it, all of a sudden it's not important anymore. Your house is full of stuff like that. Things you could not live without. Now then you can't walk without stumbling over it. You got Dagwood's closet all over your house with all this stuff you could not live without but hadn't been touched in months. What if we could get a contentment in our hearts? What if we could come to the place we were satisfied with God in our heart? Would it make any difference in the rest of our life? You know, I think it would. I know it would. Solomon is telling his son here, keep your heart with all diligence. Watch what you let into your heart. If I have too much desire for things, well, I might steal to get them. I might lie, cheat to get them. I might do something that may make me pay a very big price somewhere down the line in order to get something that I really want so badly. So I ought to be careful about what we lust after. Then I think about anger, resentment, revenge. Well, those are hard taskmasters. They get down into your heart. They get down into your heart. I've seen the time. Now, there's husbands and wives, you know, children, people in a family, people who work together all the time. You can build up these little resentments. You know, your kid, you say something to your kid and she rolls her eyes. You want to slap her face. Right? They put up this stubborn little attitude, you know, and you know, it's just the way that they haven't said a word back to you. But you know they are rebelling right now. I mean, they just got that rebel, and boy, it'll get to you, won't it? Things are close. Sometimes why I between a husband and wife, I might say just the wrong word. I wasn't thinking anything bad, but it's a trigger word. It's the word that it has a sore spot in my wife's heart. And all of a sudden, I'm in deep trouble, and I've got to get take care of it. But same thing, she can just say a certain word and offend me. I know none of you ever have this happen to you. You know, the problem with something like that is it can ruin your whole day. It can literally ruin your whole day because of something down in your, and it's in your heart. It's not in the words said by the other. It's not in the actions said by the other. It's not in the circumstance that's in your life. That's not your problem. Everybody's got circumstances in their life. I know some of you right now going through some problems and you think, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. You ever heard that song? Nobody knows the troubles I've seen. Nobody knows but Jesus. You know, there's only one thing wrong with that song. Every one of us got troubles. There's not anybody in this room today that's trouble-free. There's not anybody in this room that is perfectly whole and healthy. There's probably not anybody in this room that's perfectly sane. We got our problems, don't we? Every one of us, we're walking through life with an awful lot of problems, and it's how you have an attitude towards them. It's what's in your heart with these things. How have these things gotten to you? So Solomon told his son, keep your heart with all diligence. You know what diligence is? I mean, pay attention to what goes into your heart. Now here they tell us, You are what you eat. I guess I must be a lot of tamales. You are what you eat. I like tamales. Especially the bean tamales they make. I love those bean tamales. I got a Mexican stomach, brother. I really do. You are what you eat. Well, let me tell you what you really are. You are what you think. You are what you think. You say, well, you can't tell what I think. Oh, yes, I can. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Matthew, chapter 12. I want to let you know a little bit about what you are, who you are today. Matthew, chapter 12. Verse 34, O generation of vipers, he's talking to the Pharisees now. How can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. I want you to notice a phrase in here. Right in the middle of verse 34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I want to know what came out of your heart this last week. What came out of your mouth? That's what came out of your heart. We don't hide ourselves very well. You know, some of us are more open than others of us. But all of us, reveal ourselves all the time. When we open up our mouth, when we make a statement about the government, we make a statement about the church, make a statement about the pastor, make a statement about the children, make a statement about the job, we reveal the way we think and what's going on down in our heart. I wonder what's come out of your mouth lately. Has it been cussing and dirty jokes this last week? I wonder how many. I'm sure some of you. Cussing and dirty jokes. Has it been praise to the Lord? Thanksgiving? Have you walked with a spring in your step and some joy in your life because the Lord saved your soul and changed your life and you're walking with Jesus? What come out of your mouth this last week? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You know why you're talking and what you're saying? It's a overflow. An overflow of your heart. Your heart is full. It may be full of anger. May be full of resentment and revenge. You can tell a whole lot about yourself about what you've been saying. You ever listen to what you say? Have you ever thought about what you say, how it sounds to somebody else's ears? I never will forget the first time I heard myself on a tape recorder. I've been preaching 42 and a half years, brother, and I remember when I first got a tape recorder to preach on the radio. Man, I wondered who that hick was. Man, I'm college educated. I got several degrees, but who was that hick preaching on the radio, you know? It was me. The sound of my voice coming back to me. I said, woo, redneck big time. But you know something? Your voice reveals a whole lot about yourself. What have you been talking about lately? What do people know about you? All they got to do is listen to you. And they can see down into the innermost parts of your heart. You reveal it. You reveal it day by day by day. People that work with you, you know what they know? They know your attitude about life. They know how much you love the Lord and how much you love the world. They know whether you love this world. They know how much you love your car. I've known some guys I think would trade anything for their car. I even had a guy one time. He took me and showed me all of his cut glass crystal. Now, it was a guy, not a woman. I was a little shocked by that, but I told him how many missionaries we could support on the money he had in that crystal. Another guy talks about his guns. Another one's got his boat. Some of these people have got boats that cost a couple of $100,000. Boats. The guy didn't have a place to live, but he's got a great, big, beautiful boat. What does that tell you about him? Ah, we can learn an awful lot about what a fellow's talking about. What have you been talking about? Let me ask you something else. Let me just go back a little further than that. What have you been thinking about lately? How about this last week? What have you been thinking about? What's in your heart? What's in your heart? Solomon said, be real careful with your heart. Because out of your heart are the issues of life. That's what life's made up of. You know people that are happy, and you know people that are extremely sad. And you know people all in between. And a whole lot of it is the way you think, and the way you think is what you put into your heart. One of the greatest blessings of my life was to trade my camels off for a New Testament. And every time I wanted to smoke, I pulled out that New Testament and read it and prayed, Lord, help me get through this nicotine fit. And I finally quit smoking. Well, I quit it one time, but I finally quit struggling with it after a while. But you know what I did? I filled my mind with God's mind. I fill my mind with the writings of Scripture, and I'll tell you what, it changed my attitude about a whole lot of things. When I first got saved, there's a lot about this Bible I didn't know. There was a lot about living I did not know. There's a whole lot of things in this Bible that tell you how to live, how to build a family, how to raise kids, how to live a life that has some peace and joy and victory and some other things in it that the world doesn't have. They don't have it. You as a Christian ought to have it. Well, I'll tell you what, you better watch your heart. You know, there's some shows you ought to just turn off. Some movies you shouldn't even go to. Some books you shouldn't read. There's some people you shouldn't hang around with. Now that seems like a strange statement, but I'm not saying you can't witness to anybody. Everybody needs the gospel. But you don't need to make everybody your bosom buddy. And you don't need to bring everybody into your home with your wife and your children or your family or whatever. You don't need to bring everybody into there. Because evil communications corrupt good manners. You hang around the wrong people and it isn't long. You start talking like them. You start thinking like them. You start acting like them. And it isn't long. People can't even tell you from them. There are guys sitting in prison today because one night they got in a car with some friends and went out, and those friends did some wrong things, and they were in the car and they were convicted of the same thing the rest of them did. Some places you shouldn't go, some things you shouldn't see, some things you shouldn't do, some people you shouldn't make your friends. You ought to use your head. Why? Ponder the path of your feet. Where's it going to lead me? Where's it going to end up? That's pretty good advice, actually. Pretty good advice. Look over in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15. Along the same thing, Hebrews 12, 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Now, the grace of God didn't fail. The man failed of it. He failed to avail himself of it. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You're dealing with people. Somebody's looking for a perfect church. Well, you're going to have to find one with just angels. There are no perfect churches with just people. The pastors are imperfect, the deacons are imperfect, the Sunday school teachers are imperfect, the people that clean the building are imperfect, the ones that park the cars are imperfect, and everybody sitting in the audience is imperfect. You have to put up with some people sometime. But sometimes we allow a root of bitterness to come up within our hearts. Maybe it's because of the family. Maybe it's because something someone in the church has done to you. It might not have anything to do with the church. It might be somebody completely outside. But what happens is a root of bitterness gets inside of you, and that bitterness sours your disposition. And when it sours your heart and your disposition, it sours your words. And you're talking to somebody else down the line, and you're spreading this bitterness, and this bitterness is like a cold, like a flu. It's easy to catch, and it just spreads all through the people. He said, man, don't let any root of bitterness. Be diligent. Be diligent. Don't let any root of bitterness bring it up in your heart. Why? Many may be defiled. Not just one or two. Not just you. No trouble with sin. You're never in it alone. You can't sin by yourself and not hurt anybody else. You can't do it. Because when you sin, it's going to affect somebody around you. You don't live in a vacuum. You don't live in a little bubble somewhere. You live where everything you say, somebody hears, somebody listens to you, somebody sees. What's your heart? Heart's important. Don't let a root of bitterness spring up there. What can you do with all these things? Well, confess them. Admit them, first of all. Confess them. Ask the Lord to forgive them. He's in the business of forgiving sins. Back in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, verses 9 and 10. Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? He said, not only the heart is deceitful, he said, above all things. You ever heard a fellow tell you, my heart's right. No, your heart's not right. If there's the one thing wrong about you, it's your heart. You know what your problem is? Heart trouble. You're not right with God, you're not saved. I tell you, the problem is heart trouble. Well, I'll just follow the dictates of my heart. Follow the dictates of your heart. The Bible says it's desperately wicked. Who can know it? Only the Lord. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. A desperately wicked heart? And I'm supposed to try to keep this thing with all diligence, watching what comes out of it. You know what that drives me to? Repentance. There's a God in heaven who forgives sin. And there's a God in heaven that changes attitudes. There's a God in heaven that can wipe out the slate. And you know, if you have been wronged, and all of us have been, You can hold that bitterness and that thing can keep going on and going month after month, year after year. It can color your whole life, the rest of your life. Or you can put it under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and get it forgiven. You see, there's one thing about what Jesus does. He freely forgives because He paid the debt. It's not that He overlooks sin. He paid the debt. The debt's been paid. And for anybody that will call upon the Lord Jesus Christ, He will forgive their sins and save their soul and change their life. He'll do that for you today. And my dear Christian friend, if you're here today and maybe it's been a while, you've forgotten about some of the beautiful things of God. You've gotten bitter, you've gotten cold, you've gotten tired, you're hurting. Well, go back to the same Lord that forgave you before. He'll forgive you again. In fact, He tells you. How do I know God will do that? He tells you. Peter said, how many times should I forgive my brother? 7 times in a day. He said, I tell you not 7 times, but 70 times 7. That's 490 times. None of us forgive that much. But that's the kind of love God has, and that's the kind of forgiveness God has, and that's the kind of forgiveness God offers you today. If I have been forgiven of all the things I've done against God and all the things I've done against people, how can I not forgive anything done to me? Now, I'm not saying it'd be easy. But if I've been forgiven, how can I not forgive? Nobody's ever harmed me as bad as I've done God. Don't let any bitterness, don't let any hate, don't let any revenge, don't let any offense that's come your way embitter your spirit. It'll take the joy out of every day you live. You won't enjoy your husband. You won't enjoy your wife. You won't enjoy your children. You won't enjoy your church. You won't enjoy your Bible. You won't even enjoy your pleasures because of your own heart. Solomon says, keep thy heart with all diligence. You watch real careful about what you let stay in your heart. My Christian friend, if something's bothering you, something's burdening you, confess it to the Lord God Almighty and let Him have His way in your life. Forgive it. Forget it. Put it away. And my dear lost friend, you're here today. I'm sure inside this congregation there's somebody here. You're on the road to hell. I don't say that to be ugly to you. It's just a known fact. There are only two places in this Bible where you're going to spend eternity. Either heaven or hell. There are no 5, 6, or 7, or 8 places. I don't care what religion named them. Take a look at the book. The only reason why I've got to preach is this book right here. I believe the book. I don't always understand everything in it. I can't explain everything in it, but I do believe the book. And the book says there's a heaven and there's a hell. And the difference between the two, where you're going to spend eternity, is Jesus Christ. You're not good enough to go to heaven. You never were. Sorry to disappoint you, but the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of that sin is death. But it also says that Christ Jesus came and died for sinners. In fact, He said, I didn't come to call the righteous. I came to call sinners to repentance. If you're a sinner, I have good news for you. If you're sitting here righteous and think, I have no sin, I have no need, well, I don't have a message for you. But my friend, if you're a sinner, if you can say, yes, I know I've sinned against God, I've sinned against a whole lot of other people, and I know I need something to take care of my sin, then there's a Savior. The Bible says He went to the cross of Calvary. There on the cross of Calvary, God laid your sins and mine, the sins of the whole world, He laid them on the Lord Jesus Christ. And there He died, cursed on the tree, paying your debt to God. And you know what He said? Go into all the world and preach this gospel to every creature. What do? Believe it. One of the most beautiful things in my life was, even when I was lost, I believed the gospel. I believed that Christ died for me. And so the day came when I realized I needed God. I called upon God, and that same God changed my life. He can forgive your sins and save your soul today if you'll call upon Him. In fact, He tells you to call Him. He says, seek the Lord while He may be found. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Well, He's here today. He's in this room today. And He speaks to hearts. And He may be speaking to your heart today, saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. Call upon Jesus Christ today and ask Him to save your soul. This invitation is open. If you're here and you're lost, you want to accept Christ today, come give me your hand and let me know. I'll get somebody to pray with you. My Christian friend, the altar's open. If God's spoken to your heart in any way, we're going to sing number 249. Would you stand? If the Lord's spoken to your heart, you do what God told you to do. Sing it out.
How about you? Lord, spoken to your heart, do what you need to do. Don't let anything stand in the way of your peace. Keep your heart with all diligence. You hear without Christ? Has God spoken to your heart? You know you need to be saved? Come, let him save your soul. He'll do it. He'll save your soul and change your life. Man or woman, boy or girl, do what you need to do. Maybe you need to forgive somebody. Don't wait. Do what God wants you to do. Let Him have His way in your life. Has God spoken to your heart? Then do what He wants you to do. His invitation, your opportunity. Are you saved? When you walk out these doors today, do you know that you'll go to heaven? You can know. You can know. Will you take Christ as your Savior? O Lamb of God, I'll come. Will you come? Let Him have His way. Sing one more verse. Just as you are, this invitation's for you. As the Holy Spirit touched your heart, do you need to do something to please God today? Would you accept Him as your Savior today? Everything you need, you'll find in Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Word of God, for the promises that are there, for Your love to us, for Your help to us, for Your great salvation. I pray You'd hear and answer the prayers that have been prayed in this place this day. And I pray for anyone here that is not saved, I pray that You will convict their heart and they will take Christ as their Savior before it's too late. We thank You for everything and we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Good day and God bless you.